led. Take your Bible tonight, if you will, to the book of Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Now, I have been telling you all week, the only thing I wanted you to do was what the Lord wanted you to do. Well, tonight I'm going to preach to you on what the Lord wants you to do, all right? Just in case you hadn't been able to get it, we're going to preach it to you, okay? If you hadn't been able to get it, we're going to try to preach that to you. Acts chapter 9, just want to look at one verse here if we could. Verse 6, the man that we know today as the Apostle Paul was on the road to Damascus. He, at that time, his name was Saul, and the Lord shone a great light upon him, and he fell to the earth. And in verse 6, he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." Folks, Saul of Tarsus here asked one of the most important questions that can be phrased by man. "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Now remember, at the time he was doing what he thought the Lord wanted him to do. Right? He was involved in doing what he thought the Lord wanted him to do. But I submit to you tonight that it's more important that you find out what the Lord wants you to do than it is for you to do what you want to do. Every one of us have maybe dreams and plans and ideas, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be sure that what you're doing is what God wants you to do. It's what the Lord puts his stamp of approval on, if you would. And it's what God would have you to do. God doesn't want us all to do the same thing. God has different goals, different purposes for each and every one of us. God did not call all of us to go to the foreign field as a missionary. God does not call all of us to pastor, to preach, okay? God doesn't call us all to do those things. God doesn't call everybody to be a Sunday school teacher. The Lord has different purposes, all right? But if you're just a little familiar with the book of Acts, you know what the Lord wanted Saul to do. God called him. And the truth of the matter is, most of the rest of the New Testament, we have it because God used Saul to write it. God had a purpose for his life. Now, I want us to take our Bibles tonight. We're going to go to several places and just find out what the Lord wants us to do. Us to do. What does the Lord want you to do? Very simple 4-point message tonight. And if you'll listen fast, I'll preach fast. Okay, and we'll finish. John chapter 4. You have your Bible? Go there if you would. John chapter 4. And see what the Lord tells us that we need to do. John chapter 4. And I want you to look down into verse 35, if you will. The Lord was speaking here, and he says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You say, what does the Lord want me to do? He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. I'll be honest, they needed to see the need of the world. God wanted them to look up and realize, hey, what you're looking at is a bunch of needy people. And you need to see that need. Hey, we are best motivated by what we see. By what we see. That motivates us. You mentioned food, and we saw some food on the film tonight. And I can remember my dad, he liked to eat at cafeterias. And he said, the reason I like to eat there is I can see what I want, all right? And, you know, you ever been to a restaurant and the picture in the picture there in the menu, boy, that looks good. That looks marvelous. You order it, and it comes out, and you go, what happened to the stuff they took the picture of, all right? I mean, it's just not the same. I see these pictures on television of hamburgers, and, man, they've got a stack of meat in that burger, you know, like that. You go and you order the burger, and you go, man, when they cooked it, it shrunk big time, all right? I mean, it's just barely, you can almost read the paper through that meat patty. Hey, it's good to be able to see what you want. That motivates you, all right? We're motivated by what we see. The Bible said there in the book of Lamentation, mine eye affecteth mine heart. It does. It affects us. We're motivated. You that are married, there was a day where you looked and you saw that person that's now your spouse. And there was a point where you go, that's a little more interesting than I've thought about before. I don't know who it was I heard the first time that said to me, and I heard him make this statement. He said, he was talking to a bunch of guys. He said, first, she gets in your eye. He said, then she gets in your mind. He said, then she gets in your heart. He said, but then she gets in your wallet. There's a lot of truth there, all right? But it starts by what we see, okay? It starts by what we see. We're motivated. If we see nothing, the Bible said we'll die. Proverbs said, where there's no vision, the people perish. If we don't see anything, then we're going to die. So the Lord tells us, hey, what do you need to do? Lift up your eyes and look. Look. Hey, get your head up. Get your head up. We spend too much time walking with our head down. Spend too much time in life with their head down. The Bible said, get your head up, look around, look and see. There's a need, all right? Boy, do we ever see the need to see the need of this world of lost mankind. We need to see it. Watching the video there from Brother Patterson, I was thinking about all of those places and all of those little towns. And Brother Nathan said, we knocked every door in that place. Every door in that place. But every one of those places, every one of those buildings represents people. People. We see them. I don't know if you do. If I get stuck in traffic, first I get irritated. All right, just be honest. I get irritated. But then I begin to think, my soul, all of these people, every one of them have a soul. Every one of them have a soul. I go to a football game. I love going to high school football games. I've been over in the Cowboy Stadium, and there had been as many as 45,000 fans at a football game. And I get sitting there in the seat, and I'm at halftime watching the halftime show that I don't enjoy at all, don't like. And I thought, boy, if they'd give me a microphone, give me about 10 minutes, I sure would have a chance. I'd sure like to preach to a crowd like this, all right? But just give them the gospel. Every one of those people have a soul. Every one of those people have a soul. But wait a minute. It's not just here. It is not just here. People are everywhere. They're everywhere. Just everywhere you go, they're in every country. Every person in every country needs the same thing. They need the gospel. They need the gospel. They're in the Far East, the Middle East, and the Near East, okay? They're down south. They're up north. It doesn't matter where you are. There's people everywhere. All of those people need the gospel. Boy, how we need to lift up our eyes and look and just see that need and realize that. Those people out there on the highway that aggravate you by the way they drive, and you say, man, I wish somebody had run over you. Wait a minute. What about their soul? Where are they going to go if that did happen? Where are they going to go? Hey, we need to lift up our eyes. He said, preacher, what does the Lord want me to do? Very simple. He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. He wants you to see. He wants you to see. We get tunnel vision. We get to look at our little group. And that's all we're interested in. That's all we're interested in. It's just our little group right here. Preacher, we can't do anything for everybody. No, but we can help somebody. We can help somebody. We don't need to get in that situation where we just see right here and don't see any further out. When I was taking training to be a pilot, get my pilot's license, they put you under the hood. So what did that mean? Well, they put this thing over your head, and it came down right here, and you couldn't see out of the plane. The only thing you could see was the instruments in that airplane. That was all you could see. And you had to fly that airplane with those instruments. That your instructor would say, look at your belt buckle. And then I could still see it. I'd look at my belt buckle. And he'd say, all right. Then he would put that airplane in some odd configuration, all right. And he'd put it in something, and then he'd say, all right, look up. The only thing you'd look at was the instruments, and then you had to fly the plane based on what those instruments told you. You had to do it. You couldn't, to look up and see out, but you couldn't do that. It'd slap me, all right? So he just had to trust those instruments. But here's the problem with God's people so much. That's the way we live our life. We don't see out there. We don't see the multitudes. We see where we are, and that's all we see. But God said, lift up your eyes and look. He said, you look on the fields. They're out there. Hey, by the way, you say, where's the fields? Well, the Bible explains itself. He said, the field is the world. We're to look to the world. We're to look to the world. I've said to you, I think earlier in this mission conference, I remember when our church, we supported missionaries, but every missionary we supported was South America, Central America, or Mexico. Every one of them. We supported some missionaries in Mexico. We supported some in Guatemala. We supported some in Honduras and then in Brazil. And if you weren't there, we didn't care about you, I guess. That was all the missionaries we supported. That was it. Hey, you have to lift up your eyes and look. You need to see the need. So what do I need to do, preacher? What does the Lord want me to do? He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. He wants you to look. He wants you to see. Hey, but that's not all. Would you go to Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9, if you will, in your Bible. We're just going through here in the New Testament, looking at four places where the Lord told us what we need to do, okay? Matthew chapter 9, if you will. Look at verse 36. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Preacher, what do we need to do? What does God want us to do? Number one, you lift up your eyes and look. Number two, you lift up your heart and you pray. You pray, all right? You pray. I don't know how many times I've preached along the line of doing what you can while you can. Doing what you can while you can. I was talking to Brother Jones tonight before the service, and he was saying if I was 20 years younger, he said I'd probably do this, and he told me what he'd do. He said, but I'd kill myself in the process. All right? But that's the idea we get, all right? Hey, you do what you can when you can. But you ought to do everything you can while you can. But there's one thing every child of God can do. We're filled with people that have the ability to tell us what we can't do. I can't do. Well, hey, I'm wondering if you do it. When let me preach. I can't do this. And I can't do this. And I can't do this. I can't sing. I can't play an instrument. I can't teach Sunday school class. I'm bashful. I can't talk to people. I can't. Well, I tell you, every Christian, every child of God can pray. Every child of God can pray. Don't ever say, I can't pray. Sure you can. Sure you can. We can lift up our heart and we can pray. And the Lord said, I want you to pray that the Lord would send laborers. Laborers into the harvest, all right? William Carey, many, many years ago, went to India as a missionary. And here's what he said. He said, I will descend and dig, but you at home must hold the ropes. You at home must hold the ropes. Now, these missionaries, Brother and Mrs. Stover, Brother Jones, can I just remind you again? And you said, preacher, you've said it over and over. Good. I want to be sure you got it. We are not helping them do what God's called them to do. They're helping us do what God's called us to do. They're helping us do what God's called us to do. You said, well, they all say God called them. Yeah, he did. Aren't you glad he did? Because if he hadn't called them, he might have called you. He might have called you. Maybe he is calling you. What should I do? We ought to surrender. That's what you ought to do. You ought to be able to say like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Send me, I'll go. But every one of us ought to pray. We ought to pray. Every missionary that comes through here hands these things out. Every missionary that comes through hands these out. I've gone back. I've got a collection of them. I've got pictures of missionaries when they came through and their kids are this big. Now their kids are in college. Those same kids. Some of their kids have kids, all right? Hey, through the years, I've watched that family change. Watched that family change. The family grew, and God blessed them, but the kids grew up. They're out. They're doing their thing. All those prayer cards. But they're given out for one reason, that we'll pray for them. We'll pray for them. That'll remind us, pray for them. Pray for them. Hey, put them somewhere where you'll see them. Put them somewhere. Put them on the sun visor in your vehicle. Put them on the sun visor in your vehicle. Change them out every now and then, all right? You get tired of praying for the Stovers, stick another one in there, all right? Stick another. There's ones back there on the table in the foyer with missionaries we support, and, grab one of them, stick one of those in, change them out, pray for a different missionary, all right? Just keep going. When you're driving down the road, hey, when you're stuck in traffic, and nothing to do, I'm just great. Well, pray for your missionaries. Got those there? Just pray. Everybody, every missionary repeatedly pleads with us to pray for them. Pray for them. Lord, to do it. You heard this morning Brother Jones' testimony of how they faced a situation, and he gave us the whole story, and he talked about, later he found out people, God spoke to them, and they prayed for them. They didn't know why, but God put it on their heart, and they prayed for them, and later on found out, boy, that was a time of need, and they needed God's protecting hand. They needed somebody to pray. When God brings somebody to mind, pray for them. Amen. Pray for them. Don't just think, well, I wonder what's going on with them. Pray for them. I've been awake in night. Wake up at night and couldn't go back to sleep, and then somebody had come to mind. And I think, well, might as well pray for them. Not doing anything else. Pray for them. You said, is there a great story? No, I don't know what was going on. I don't know. It might not have been an emergency, but they needed prayer. Boy, we ought to do that. Lift up your heart and pray. You ever stop to consider? I could stand here and talk to you about missionaries that have shipwrecked folks that I've known. Some in years past we've supported. I know you know missionaries that have. People maybe that you knew. And that you knew about them, you heard about them. And they're no. Now when they mess up, I don't get up here and say, we're no longer going to support so-and-so because they've gone fallen. I don't do that. We just quit supporting them. We have to. But I can't help but wonder, who knows how many of them have failed. Because God's people here failed to hold the ropes. Just didn't hold them up in prayer enough. Just didn't pray for them. Hey, they run into temptation just like you do. They run into the same kind of temptation you and I do. They need to pray. You said, preacher, what does the Lord want me to do? I'll tell you what he wants you to do. He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. He wants you to lift up your heart and pray. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, if you were paying attention this morning, you know what's coming, all right? And that's all right. That's good. Nothing wrong with that, okay? Nothing at all wrong with that. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would you look at verse 6? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, then verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Hey, preacher, what does the Lord want us to do? He wants you to lift up your hands and give. He wants you to lift up your hands and give. That's what he wants. What a good thing to do. What a good thing to do. What a blessing. What a blessing. Many years ago, if you got drafted, you could pay somebody to take your place. You could find somebody and pay, take them down and said, I was drafted, but I'm paying this guy. He's going to take my place. I'm going to pay. He can do it. Now, you say, can I do that with missionaries? No. You cannot pay somebody to take your place. You can't do that. But I tell you this, if you'll give, you can help get the gospel where you can't go. Where you can't go. I wouldn't be worth a whole lot in Germany. My German is restricted to one phrase. I know a three-word phrase in German. I'm sure my pronunciation is totally wrong. I learned it when I was between my sophomore and junior years in high school. And I learned that German phrase in Colorado. All right? It's the only German phrase I know. And that's it. I wouldn't be worth much. If I went through Germany saying that phrase, people say, watch out for that guy. They say, keep an eye on him. Okay, keep an eye on him. Something wrong with that guy. All right? It'd just be that way. I know that. Now, I can go to Mexico, I'd be fine. I could say, dos tacos, por favor. I could order fluently in Spanish. Probably not fluently, but I could order, okay? I'd be in trouble, all right? I've run into people here and knock on the door, and I've had them say, no hablo inglés. And I thought, no hablo español. But I know, you know, just a tiny little bit. And just a tiny little bit. But when I'm in a situation like that, I can't remember anything. It's amazing. My mind goes blank. Whatever the Spanish that I know, it's gone. I can't remember anything. I might be able to ask them where the library is. Because I learned that in Spanish class. ¿Dónde está la biblioteca? But what good does that do me? Yeah? What good does that do me? You say, what are you getting at, preacher? I'm getting at this. I can give. I can give. And through that, help spread that gospel somewhere I couldn't go. Somewhere I couldn't go. I couldn't witness. But I can lift up my hands and give. Hey, let's face it. You can see the need. You can pray about the need. But somebody's always going to need to pay for the need. There's always going to be a need for that. Let's face it, it costs money to send missionaries to the foreign field. It costs money. Provide the equipment they need. Take care of their living expenses. To buy literature. To rent facilities to meet in. We can just go on and on and on. A lot of things that you and I would never even think about. The missionary could say, well, you've got this and you got this. And all those. Hey, it costs money. It costs money. But wait a minute. It costs money to provide things here. It costs money to do that. We like it in the winter when the heater runs. We like it in the summer when the air conditioner works. By the way, we got a heater we're probably going to have to replace because it's not working. All right, it quit, and our repairman came by and he said, "Man, it's old. I don't think I can find the part, but I'll look." He told Brother Kelly that. I told Brother Kelly, "That sorry rascal's trying to get us buying a unit," you know. I know Brother Thompson is a good man, but hey, it costs things. It costs to provide things here. It does on the foreign field. It does here. If you pay the bills at your house, you know it gets more expensive every year to do the same thing. It gets more expensive. It constantly grows. Churches, I just want you to know, I don't think a lot of people understand this, and I believe you do as a church member. Churches don't generate income, okay? There's not anything we do that just causes money to come flowing in. We don't do anything, all right, that would do that, all right? All of it is God's people have to learn to give. And by the way, that's God's plan. God's plan to finance the work of God is that God's people would give. It is not God's plan to finance His work by us having bake sales and rummage sales, candy sales. That's not God's plan. God's plan to finance the work of God is God's people give. God's people provide it, okay? God's people do that. I was talking to somebody this week, I'm not going to tell you who, and they were talking about having to give to a charity. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't give to United Way. I don't give to Salvation Army. I don't give to the March of Dimes. I don't give to any of those things. You say, why not? Because the world will support that. All of my givings through the church. Amen. All of my givings through the church. You see, the world's not going to support the work of God. You say, well, you don't care about people. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But I'm going to tell you this. Every dime you give in this church for missions goes to missions. Every dime you give to United Way does not go to United Way. What you give to the, it doesn't. It goes to pay a lot of, sometimes real healthy salaries. I'm telling you, every dime you give here, it goes to where we're putting, all right? You know that that happens. Hey, it costs money. It costs money to do it. God's people have to give. Hey, that's what tithing's all about. We don't mind. Hey, I don't mind preaching on giving because giving brings the blessing of God. That's what the scripture said. If you want to sow sparingly, that's the way you'll reap. If you want to sow bountifully, that's the way you'll reap. Now, I do not get up here and preach the way some imposters do and say, if you'll give, God will make you rich. Not here. I like what I heard Lester Roloff say. He said they were interviewing him back yonder years ago when there were all kind of lies told about him. And they asked him, and as some reporter said, man, people are saying you're a millionaire and wealthy. And he said, well, I am. But he said, I'm temporarily separated from my assets. Because you see, our assets are not here. They're in heaven. They're in heaven. I got a mansion there, okay? Got a mansion there. The driveway. Yeah, we ain't even going to talk about it, all right? Hey, I'm telling you, but it's not here. I'm not telling you and not preaching to you, if you give here, God will just pour the money in and you'll be rich. Not telling you that. But I'm telling you, if you give, God will open up the windows of heaven, and the Bible said He'll pour you out a blessing. Pour you out a blessing. Those blessings come in a lot of ways. They come in a lot of ways. I mean, you can just go on and on about them. Sometimes they come with health. Sometimes they come because you're not in the hospital. Sometimes they come because of God's blessings on your family, your kids. Hey, man, I'm so thankful for the kids that I have. They're healthy. My grandkids, they're, you know, doing, man, God's poured out a blessing on them. And it's a blessing just to get in on that. And you say, preacher, what should I do? What does God want me to do? He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. Hey, He wants you to lift up your heart and pray. He wants you to lift up your hands and give. That's what He wants you to do. One more thing. Go with me, Will, to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter 16, okay? Mark chapter 16. There's one other thing He wants you to do. You said me? Yep, you. You. Mark chapter 16, would you look in verse 15? This is our Lord again talking to His people. Mark 16, 15, He said unto them, go ye unto all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. This is what's known as the Great Commission. It's found at least five times in the New Testament. It's found in Matthew chapter 28. It's found in Luke chapter 26. It's found here in Mark. It's found in John chapter 20. And it's found in Acts chapter 1. Repeatedly, God says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world. Wait a minute. Y'all do understand ye, don't you? No, preacher, I can't understand that old outdated English and that old, yeah, you do. You know who ye is. You know who it is. We're talking to you, all right? Now, don't dodge and say, well, no, it's you. God's telling everyone, and say, what does he want me to do? He wants me to lift up my feet and go. He wants you to lift up your feet and go. That's what he wants out of you. Hey, the Lord has called the sinner to come, and he's commissioned the Christian to go. To go. You got saved. Hey, we invite people every week to come and get saved. Man, I like to see people get saved. It was a thrill watching the video, Brother Nathan baptizing those folks. What a blessing. What a blessing. When I watch a missionary's video, I'd rather see people baptized than see the countryside. Let me see some people in church being baptized, people that's gotten saved, people that are there serving. Yeah, praise the Lord. What a good thing. What a blessing. Well, wait a minute. That happened because somebody decided to get up and go. To go. To go. He said, well, God didn't call me to Mexico. Good. How about next door? How about next door? How about across the street? How about across the street? Those people that know you, your neighbors. I realize that's going a long stretch in this day and age, say we know our neighbors, but a lot of we don't, you know, but you ought to try to meet them. I get the opportunity to try to meet my neighbors. And I want to know them, I want to be able to, hey, I'd love to invite you to church. Have you been born again? Just witness to them a little bit. There was a fellow on the parking lot on Friday, when you drove up, I think. The guy was still here. I got here a little early. He had the hood of his car up. He was fooling under there. And I got out and I walked by and said, hey, man, you think this is the garage you're working? And, of course, I was kidding with him, you know, and got to talking with him. I said, man, where you live? He said, right down the street. I said, where you go to church? Oh, I don't go to church. I said, well, good heavens, why not? Well, up, you know. And I talked to him, young guy, 33 years old. I tried to tell him, you know, 33-year-old people drop dead. You're not guaranteed life. Not guaranteed life. Hey, you say, preacher, what are you talking about? Hey, lift up your feet and go. Go. If you can't do anything else, fill your pockets with tracts. Fill your pockets with tracts, and just everywhere you go, just hand them out. Hand them out. He said people won't take them. Most people will. Most people will take them. You just offer them. Just go along and say, hey, man, would you get a chance to read that, would you? Read that. If you're looking at somebody and you think, did they kind of look like maybe they're illiterate, well, get them a Chick Tract. They can look at the pictures, all right? I'm serious. Just every way we can, lift up your feet and go. That's what God wants us to do. But God didn't call me to go to the farm. But he called you here. He called you here. Hey, we try to gather on Thursday night to get people to go. You say, well, I can't come on Thursday night. We'll take you any day you will. We're trying to totally blanket the area with our packets from the church with John Romans and tracts in them and everything. And all you have to do, if you can't do anything else, surely you can walk them down the street and hang them on doorknob. I mean, you don't have to be talented there. Well, what if somebody comes out? You just say, hey, this is a gift from our church. We'd like to give it to you. Most people will take it. Most people will take it. It's not a problem. Hey, we ought to be willing to do that. Preacher, what does the Lord want me to do? He wants you to lift up your eyes and look. Will you do it? You just kind of get a vision of this old lost world. Hey, he wants you to lift up your heart and pray. Pray. We take on the Stovers, missionaries. We need to pray for them. Need to pray for them. There's all the missionaries that our church supports are on these walls and on these plaques, every one of them. If you don't have a list, I'll be happy to give you a list of every missionary we support and every mission project we support. For instance, we support Indian Bible Institutes in Brazil, doing a tremendous work there, started by Brother Joe Hawkins years ago, still going on. All right, hey, we support that. We support all of that. We'll give you that. You can pray. You've got a picture in your mind now. For those of you that didn't know Brother Jones, there he is. You get a picture of him. You know how to pray for him. There's the Stovers. You know how to pray for him, all right? You know how to pray for them. You know who we're talking about. You may go and you may see names. You go, I don't know who those are, all right? You can still pray for them. You'll pray for them. One day they'll come back through here, and then you'll be able to put a face with that name you've been praying for, and you'll be able to tell them, been praying for you. Been praying for you. What a blessing. Hey, we can lift up our hearts. We can pray. We can lift up our hands and give. Just give. Boy, hardest thing in the world to do in our day is to get people's hands pried off from this. Oh, we like it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not trying to tell you. I don't care for it. I enjoy having a little money every now and then. Good thing. But, man, I don't want to be so attached to it that I can't give it. I want to do that. We can lift up our hands. We can give. And we can lift up our feet and go. Preacher, I don't know how to talk to anybody. Brother Dunbar will be glad to teach you how. I'll be glad to take you and teach you how. My wife, she'll take you, teach you how. There's other people. They'd be glad to take you and go. Miss Pope, she'd be glad. Miss Pope comes and goes. Hey, somebody go with you. We wouldn't just say, you're here, good. Here's your street. Have a good time. We wouldn't do that. Do that. Hey, you look at the preacher and you say, preacher, you just don't know what it is. Oh, yeah. I remember knocking on the door and then praying, dear God, help them not to be home. Knees shaking. Then you have some guy open the door. What do you want?
Nothing. I think I'm at the wrong address.
You know, it's what I wanted to say, you know. Hey, I know what it is. You know what I found out? People are people. People are people. Now, there have been rare occasions, very rare occasions, where I've had anybody be rude to me. And it's been extremely rare. So I don't mind. I knock on that door. They open that door. And you say, what do you do? I said, howdy. I tell them who I am. I said, I'm First Baptist Church. I used to like to go with a child. I'm trying to remember now who the kid that was with me one time, and I knocked on the door. I introduced myself, and I said, I'm Pastor Mosley. I'm Pastor First Baptist Church, Halton City. This is my bodyguard. You said, what do people do? Well, they laughed. That's good. Because you get people laughing, you can talk to them. You can talk to them. But we're so stinking afraid of people. Oh, not to be afraid of people. They're just like you are, okay? They're just like you are. We can lift up our feet and go. Hey, you know what God wants you to do. So how much of it are you doing? How much of it are you doing? Never forget Brother Hugh Wilkins. Brother Hugh Wilkins has gone to heaven. I'll never forget him telling one time, he said, well, you know, I believe God just wants me to give. And Brother Wilkins was a good giver. God blessed him. He had a good job, made real good money, and he gave. He was a good giver. I'll never forget him saying that. And I thought, man, that's the wrong thing to say. And later on, I talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, it was a pretty stupid thing to say, wasn't it? I said, yeah, because God wants us all to go. God wants us all to go. He wants you to give. He wants you to look. He wants you to pray. Are you doing it? Four things. Four things. How many of them are you doing? Listen, don't sell yourself short and say, I can't. The reason I know you can is because God never asked anybody to do something they couldn't do. Never. Never. God help us to see, this is what God wants me to do. And let's do it. Would you stand with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight. Just simple thoughts, simple things to consider. But Lord, every one of those things we look in the Bible, and there's things you've told God's people, you've told us that we're to do these things. Lord, would you burden us about it? Would you burden us? Would you help us to see the need for us to just obey you. Lord, help us to not be afraid to look. Lord, some people don't want to look because they don't want to be burdened. Lord, help us not to be that way. But help us to look so we see that need. And Lord, help us to be willing to pray. Pray for those that God's already called and He sent, and pray for more to be sent. Then, Lord, help us to be willing to give and just say, Lord, I'll give and be willing to come to you and seek your will in that matter. And Lord, then help us to be willing to go. We're not professional salesmen. We just know what it is to be saved, know how to tell somebody else how to get saved. Lord, help us to do it. Burden us about it, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.